Also, making any representation of God of all or of any of the three persons, either inwardly in our mind or outwardly in any kind of image or likeness of any creature at all. So we are forbidden, in other words, by the second commandment to make any image of God, even of God the Son. Although he took on human flesh and was fully man, he is also fully God. Also forbidden, all worshiping of any kind of image or worshiping of God through the image, corrupting the worship of God, adding to it or taking from it, whether invented and taken up on our own or received by tradition from others, whether under the title of antiquity, custom, devotion, good intent, or any other pretense. So those are what is forbidden in the second commandment. So there again, it fits right into the regulative principle. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 4 in light of this. Look at verses 15 through 17 here as we have further detail given concerning how we are to worship and how we are not to worship our Lord. Verses 15 through 17 says, "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." So when God spoke to his people at Horeb there, that's also Mount Sinai, he spoke and he's saying, the people heard a voice, but they did not see an image. Right. They did not see God. Why? Look at verse 16. "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air." In other words, the people of Israel not to corrupt themselves. They were not to make an image of Yahweh as if he can be made in the image of man or woman or any beast. And that's exactly what they had done in their rebellion when they made the golden calf. They worshipped the golden calf as the God who brought them out of Egypt. So God forbids not to make any image. And in their mind, because they were influenced by the Egyptians, they could have thought making a bull like that. You got to put yourself in their context, which is way different than our context. They could think we're saying that our God is powerful because that was the symbol of the bull. But there are so many attributes of God that cannot be represented through the making of a bull. And so you're misrepresenting God. There's no image that you can make on earth to rightly represent God. And so all images of God are forbidden. It is a form of idolatry to think that we can bring to God anything in sincerity and expect him to receive it if it is not according to his commands. This is also seen in the construction of the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, the command was given, "And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount." And what we see there in Exodus is God was very concerned about this because the pattern of the tabernacle pointed to something forward. It shadowed forth New Testament truths. And so they had to make it a certain way. They could not change that whatsoever. Now, when we come to the New Testament, and there was a change in covenant, we know now that there are fewer elements and ordinances in our worship. There are no more sacrifices or priesthood as was under the old covenant. There's no more physical temple either. But these all typified the person of Christ and his work. And God still reserves the right to dictate how he is acceptably worshipped, even now in the New Testament. That principle has not at all changed. Now also, if you would turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, and I want to show you again more statements that apply here to the regulative principle. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we're going to look first at verse 31. And of course, Jeremiah is prophesying and preaching at a time of great apostasy in Israel when they were turning away from God. And of course, we understand that many of the pagans would sacrifice their children. They would burn their children in the fire as a sacrifice to the false god Molech. And the Israelites were influenced by this. And in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, verse 31, it says, concerning the Israelites, "And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." So notice, God rebukes the Israelites not only for murdering their children, but he rebukes the Israelites for bringing in a form of worship which he never commanded them. So they're rebuked for those two reasons. So as we apply it to what we're looking at today, we cannot bring in any element of worship in the church that God has not expressly commanded. Look at Jeremiah 19, verse 5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my heart. Again, the murder was wicked, but bringing in a form of worship into Israel, which was not expressly spoken by the Lord or commanded, also was a sin. Jeremiah 32, verse 35, again, we see the same thing. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So there we have it again. The sin of murdering their own children. You know, oftentimes the way this was, there was a fire set up and the idol was put there and the hands were boiling hot. And they would place the baby right there and burn the baby as a sacrifice. That was an abomination because of the idolatry, because of the murder of the children, but also God did not command any such worship to be done in Israel. And they simply went astray in the evil imaginations of their own wicked hearts. So we see these statements, both Old Testament and New Testament, make it very clear we have no authority to add to God's principles and commandments concerning worship. But also, we see in Scripture very clearly that God prohibited borrowing worship customs from pagans and bringing them into the worship of God as well. And if you're by Deuteronomy there, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and I want you to see this as well. The Israelites were not to add to God's commandments, but they also were not to borrow from their pagan neighbors and bring their elements of idolatrous worship into the worship of Yahweh. That's called syncretism, bringing in pagan elements into the worship of God's people as they worship God. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now notice verse 32. What things soever I commanded you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. There's the principle again. Don't borrow from the pagans around you and bring that into my worship. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. What I have commanded, that ye are to do. So God forbids his people from adding or diminishing any commandments regarding the worship of him. He forbade his people from borrowing from pagan worship, trying to purify it, bring it in and purifying it in their worship of God. In our modern day, we could say you try to Christianize it or baptize it, and you borrow and bring that into our worship of God. God regulates his worship, and he rejects the intrusion of wicked practices. He forbids us from making additions according to our own desires. Another example is if you have a building that you're going to build. Let's say you're a businessman, you have an exact blueprint of what you want. You give that to the construction companies to make that. And in the end, if you weren't keeping an eye on it, when the building is all done, you find that they added to the blueprint. And they say, look, we have good intentions behind it. We think this would work out better for your building. We think this would work out better for your business. You would obviously have the right to be upset because they were supposed to go by the blueprint. That's the theme here. God has given us a blueprint. He's given us His word concerning how He is to be worshipped. So we cannot add to that. Even if we have good intentions and we think that our additions would honor God, in fact, they would not. So, the statements in the Old Testament and in the New, God forbidding bringing in pagan elements. Number three, we see this in the teaching of Christ, the mediator of the New Covenant. That is, when there was a change coming about from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, God still would regulate His worship, even though there would be a covenantal change. The outward ceremonies, the outward elements of the Old Covenant worship would be gone, even though they looked forward to Christ, but since they were fulfilled in His life, ministry, and sacrifice, they would be done away with. Those physical elements of the Old Covenant would be replaced with a more simple spiritual worship in the New Covenant. Yet the regulative principle would still not be abandoned. And I want you to see this in Christ's teaching. If you would, look at John chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 20 is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now remember, there's a contrast between the Jews and the Samaritans in many ways. The Samaritans, we know, were half-breeds. They were part Jew, part Gentile. They spirit. He's talking about the totality of our redeemed.